Backchat Studios is a part of the Acast Creator Network. Head to backchatpodcast.com.au to sign up as a patron and access all of our merch.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Here we go, the Backchat Basketball Show. We're international today, or this evening, this morning, wherever, whenever you're watching. Hello at backchatpodcast.com.au or backchat_basketball is where you can find us on Instagram. Usually I'm here with Ben Malice or Greg Heyer. No, today we've got international flavor. It's Gazza, as we'd call you over here. Austin Garuya, how's it going, man? Over there in Dallas.
It's going great, man. You know, it's great to make my international debut. I've mm-hmm. been looking forward to this for quite some time. You know, I've been looking to take my brand global. And what a better opportunity than Backchat.
Of course, of course. Gazza, so we like to just, you know, shorten everything over here and add a Z on the end or a Y. So you're going to be Gazza or Aussie, just to give you a bit of Australian culture. Hey, the first question that I always ask guests that we have on the show, like on the various shows that we do here at Backchat, is for their greatest sporting achievement. So like when we interview athletes, we always say, like, you're not allowed to tell us your greatest sporting achievement in your field of choice, because, like, yeah, if I'm talking about basketball, I don't care about your basketball achievements, because it's, you know, they're meaningless to me. Give me something else that you did at, like, middle school, high school, the greatest thing you've ever done in a sporting field.
Oh, I have a good one.
Yes.
In high school, I scored 4 goals in a soccer game in high school.
Nice.
And I found out that that's called a golden sombrero.
A golden sombrero?
A golden sombrero.
I've never heard
that. 4 goals in a game. I honestly have not heard it since then. Someone told me that, and I was like, I'm not sure if they were lying to me, but they said it was a golden sombrero, and people on my team just called it that for, like, the rest of the year.
That's good. So you got the hat trick and then the golden sombrero. I wonder what happens when you go to 5. Sombrero.
I don't know. I mean, a platinum sombrero, maybe?
Also, I feel like golden sombrero is something you're not allowed to say in 2023. Like, I don't know. Are we allowed to be talking about this? I don't know.
maybe I'll get canceled for getting a golden sombrero. Luckily, they didn't actually give me a golden sombrero to wear around high school, because that might have gotten me thrown out.
Of course. There is so when I got married and I had my we call it box party over here, they put a sombrero on my head. We went to, like, this Mexican restaurant, and I feel like, you know, that was like 10 years ago, whatever, when it was maybe a bit more accepted to do that sort of thing. And if I ever want to run for prime minister over here, I feel like that photo is going to creep up and ruin some sort of chances for me. But, yeah, the golden sombrero. Very good. I love that. Hey, we should probably explain why, like, who the hell you are, because we have a lot of Australian, you know, it's over here in Australia, a lot of Australian basketball fans, and we talk NBA and stuff, but no knock on you, but, you know, not everyone knows who Austin Garuya is.
I thought I was a household name at this point. I mean, maybe not in Australia, but at least a few continents around the world.
Yeah, well, you get there, man. This will help you get into the Australian market. So you were probably one of the first people I followed on Twitter for basketball reasons. So I remember early days, you know, wanting to just talk Mavs with people, and for some reason I stumbled upon you and followed you, and then fast forward, I don't know, X amount of years, and I lived with you for 2 weeks. You very graciously let me, a stranger that you'd never met in person or probably like spoken to properly, into your home, which I was, you know, it was a good time. But what's your involvement in basketball? What have you done in your past, and what are you sort of doing now?
So I got my start. I used to write at Mavs Moneyball. It's like a Mavs-centric blog through SB Nation. So I did that for a couple years, and I covered the Mavs in person for a year for them. That was the wonderful Seth Curry Mavericks in 2017.
Huge.
You know, just a very iconic Mavs team. And then I wrote for Dime on Up Rocks for a little while. And then I took a break for a long time and I wasn't writing anywhere. And then last year I started writing again at Dime Up Rocks. And then I also have a podcast with Tim Cato under The Athletic, the 77 Minutes podcast.
Yes, been listening to that recently because there's no one, like who's talking about the Mavericks? There's no reason to talk about the Mavericks for the last 2 months. So you guys have been getting me through 77 Minutes. It's good. Good pod, you pop up there. The funniest thing about that podcast is that you and Tim, who I also stayed with, you guys were living together. Now you sort of live together, but just like you're separated by apartments. Is that right? You're living in the same building?
We live downtown, and our buildings are like literally next to each other.
Yeah, that's so good. Yet you don't very like convenient. You don't like walk to his place and pod together in the same room. You still.
No, we'll still do it by Zoom. Occasionally, we'll get in the same room and we'll do a pod together because sometimes it's fun to have a little in-person chemistry.
Yes.
But mostly, we're lazy, and so we'll just do it over Zoom.
Yeah, but it's summer. It's summertime for you now, right? It's good to get out. Nighttime walk, you know, get out and about.
It is good to get up. Honestly, though, not a great time to walk in Texas. It's hot. It's real hot here.
Right.
It's like over 100 degrees Fahrenheit, so like it's like over 30
it's like 30,
Celsius.
Yeah, 30, 35. Yeah, that's brutal.
Every day, so it's brutal to go outside.
Yeah, let's talk basketball. NBA finals are finally they're complete. It honestly felt like it started to drag towards the end. I think when your team's not in it, and like I lost interest three quarters of the way through the NBA season, I was like, all right, let's get the next one started. How did you? Are you the sort of guy that like, because it's good for you, you get to watch at night. For me, I need like clear time my schedule, like put it in my diary and like cancel meetings so I can watch basketball at like 9 a.m. Are you watching every game through the playoffs and finals and stuff?
Yeah, I'm watching pretty much every game through the playoffs and finals. I think actually this playoffs I watched more than I think any other playoffs in the last couple of years.
Yep.
But also, again, it's convenient for me because it's at nighttime.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And the Nuggets were fun to watch. It was fun to watch a new team being in the finals. I loved watching Jokic. Jokic is like honestly crazy dominant this postseason. I think a lot of people hadn't seen him play in the playoffs and hadn't really watched him really closely. And so I think even though a lot of people knew he was good, I think it was really like his coming out party. And also it was fun to watch the Zombie Heat. I mean, the Heat shouldn't have beat any of the teams that they played, and they still just kept winning games. And Jimmy Butler was an insane person for 2 months.
Yeah, it was probably the first finals in like forever that I actually just was really happy with both teams winning. Usually I'm like rooting for one team not to win, but I was really happy. Like either way, it was like that Cinderella story of the Heat winning or the Nuggets, just because I like them and I like Jokic and I like, you know, I like a lot of their players. Actually, there's not many rats on the team that I despise. Like, you know, the Warriors, for instance, for me, I just, there's just two or three guys in there that I can't stand, that I don't want them to succeed. But the Nugs and the Heat, both teams I was happy with. Does seeing the, we'll talk some Mavs in a bit, but seeing the Heat get as far as they did make you upset about the Mavericks' decision to tank at the end of the season?
Absolutely not. Not for me, because the Mavs, they stunk. They were not doing what the Heat did. The Heat could play defense, and they had a pretty good defense all season long. They just couldn't play any offense. The Mavericks have maybe one of the worst defenses I've ever seen in my entire life once they got Kyrie and they lost Dorian. I'm not sure they would have even gotten out of the play-in had they made the play-in tournament. So I think there was a lot of like discussion and discourse about whether they should have tanked or not, and I was like, it didn't really matter. They were not doing anything in the playoffs with that roster.
Yeah. It is like, it hurts seeing other teams just do so well with team building. Like the Nuggets built from draft, and then like the players that they brought in were because of trades that they were able to make because of good draft picks and good players that they got through that. So maybe it's like, it's part of me is like, well, maybe we can do it. But then also it just, I don't know. I'm such a pessimist, pessimist fan that I've just been hurt so many times. It's like a dog returning to its vomit at times, as it feels like. Jokic was so good. He was like just unreal to watch, and I just laughed that many times watching him play, like doing stupid things that just like regular like regular events that happen in basketball games don't usually happen, like when, unless Jokic is playing, like super passes. Do you think someone messaged me? I have like one Nuggets fan. Like, I don't know why. I don't know if people actually, the Nuggets fans actually exist in real life, especially here in Australia. But I messaged him saying, hey, man, I'm really proud of you. Congratulations on the win. And the only thing he wrote back was, let the Dirk v. Jokic discourse begin.
Oh, no.
I know. And part of me was like, oh, shit. Maybe that's a thing that will then continue, because I love Dirk's my favorite athlete of all time, like, you know, even outside of basketball. What's your thoughts on that already starting?
You know, I think there's maybe, if you want to look at it from a very, very analytical perspective, there's possibly a case. I just personally won't allow it. Like, you can say that I have a bias and you would be absolutely correct. And I just won't allow the discourse to come through. I value what Dirk did so much more. And also, he was a pioneer. Like, no one played the way that he did, you know, and he didn't have anybody really to look to like form his game after. And I think it was also a lot harder to play that way in the mid-2000s. And I think he played against better big man competition during his time. And it was just much more difficult for him to play his game in that era and still have to put up the stats that he did. And he was just such a great shooter. And, I mean, obviously Jokic is a great player. And he's still pretty young, so he's going to have a lot more opportunities to win more championships, win more MVPs. So, like, at the end of his career, it might not be close. But as of right now, I would still take Dirk and all of his accomplishments and all the 51 seasons he had, all the playoff runs he had. I mean, he won a championship. He went to the finals another time. He's been to a conference finals the other time. He's been to the playoffs multiple times. I mean, I think 10 or 12 times in a row he went to the playoffs.
Yep.
So as of right now, it's still Dirk. I'm not going to hear a Jokic argument just because I love Dirk, and I still think he's better.
Well, suck shit, Adrian. I know you listen to this. Take that and your love of Jokic.
It's fun. There's not many like Nuggets fans out there, so
no.
You don't have to worry about
it. Yeah, exactly. Hey, there's this really good tweet going around where people have been quote tweeting it and putting funny moments from the NBA. Someone wrote, I think they started with something about Draymond and then replied with it saying, like, this is the funniest NBA season ever. And the tweets that have been following on from that, it's just been unreal. You know what I'm talking about. Like, so.
Oh, yeah. It's been so good.
Yeah. So I made a list of, like, some of my favorite ones. The first one was actually, like, I forget that it happened this season because it was so long ago, but Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole, like, in training before the season had even started was so funny. It felt like that was two or three seasons ago. And that being something that just sort of stayed with the Warriors the entire season. The best part of that for me was the documentary that followed, like,
oh, man.
Like 2 months later. This, like, self-made Draymond documentary.
And also, I forgot about this, but that was opening night. Like, that was literally, it was the Warriors ring night.
Was it opening night that. Did that?
That was opening night that released that before they, like, got their rings. He had to release a documentary apologizing about how he punched his teammate in the face. And that's how we kicked off the season. Honestly, we should have known it was going to be a hilariously cursed season when that's the way that the year began.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing was that I love and that a lot of people have is the lighting, light the beam. I think I saw you tweet something about like corporate offices at NBA offices, like trying to figure out what their beam is going to be for next season. It was a genius move by the Kings, and it, like, got so many fans on side.
Yeah, it's like a generational marketing move. Yeah. I don't think it's whoever came up with that idea is like going to retire off the money they make off of it. It's honestly, it was one of the coolest things. Like, light the beam is a great chant. The beam itself feels like a mystical deity. It feels like they've created their own little like separate religion within Sacramento. Like, they probably all worship the beam. They pray to the beam. You know, it's honestly, it's one of my favorite things I've ever seen in sports, period.
Yep.
Like, it's a lot of. I want to go to Sacramento to see the beam. Let me tell you, I've been to Sacramento. It's not great.
No.
It's not a lot to see. But now the beam is there. You might want to go, like, travel and go see the beam.
Absolutely.
Spend a day with it.
Yeah, I actually went there once accidentally. I didn't mean to go to Sacramento, but I
that's how most people go. There.
Yeah, I caused an emergency landing on an airplane, and they had to land in Sacramento. So that's my one experience of them. So next time, I'm going to deliberately go and see the Beam. I feel like in the Light of the Beam like planning meeting, it was probably just some like flippant like, what if we just shot like a light into the sky? And they're like, yeah. Okay, give it a shot. And it just became the most, like you said, generational marketing move. What about Jimmy Butler coming in with the wig?
Oh my God. That's also how we should know this season was. That's also how the season started. Just cursed. And also, like, I, immediately when I saw him with it, I was like, I knew it was a wig. I knew it was an extension. I was like, there's no way you grew your hair out this long over the summer. And also, the genius to it was not only that he got the like the extensions and like the wig for the dreads, is that he also went clean shaven for the first time in his entire adult life. So he looked even like more just insane with the clean shaven face and the long dreads. It was so great that like they stopped using his profile picture from Media Day and started using like his 2K photo to show on the podcast.
That is so funny. I think it was really good. That is, it's such a troll move. I wonder if there'll be someone that does something else next season, knowing that like this media team would have like because I worked as in a media team for a basketball at a basketball organization here in Perth. And if someone came to media day like that, you'd be like, oh man, what a stitch up. So it'd be good. I hope another player does something else. What were some of the other moments for you that you recall being funny about the season?
Oh, Pat Bev showing the camera to the to the referee.
I forgot about that.
First of all, not only did he show the camera to the referee, that someone on the sideline had like the wherewithal to like have the photo ready and to show it to Pat Bev and then to let Pat Bev have the camera. Like, that's probably not a cheap camera. It's probably pretty expensive.
Yeah. It must have been like a team admin person or something. Like, there's no fan going,
it had to be.
Look at this photo and him just grabbing the camera.
It had to be a team admin. Yeah. I would have been terrified to give my expensive camera over to Pat Bev to run over to a referee.
Didn't he tweet something as well when that referee got in the heat recently because of tweeting? Was he the same referee that was tweeting in like from a burner account?
Oh, from a burner account. I don't know if that was the same ref.
I think it might have been. I'm pretty sure Pat Bev tweeted the same, like the photo of him with the camera like 3 weeks ago. I might be wrong, but it was, that was actually great. I forgot about that. Another one I wrote down, and this is more of a recent one, was Paul Pierce arriving to a live stream with an escort to watch
finals
game with Kevin Garnett. That was loose.
That was so good. My favorite part was like Kevin Garnett trying to be the like calmer head and trying to be like, hey, let's just watch the game. It was like, you know, when one of your boys gets real drunk at a party and is just like trying to say just whatever. Like, hey, let's just focus on this game. Let's just rein it in. Hey, like we're all here for you. We don't want anything to happen. Kevin Garnett was like, you could see him thinking about, oh, I'm going to lose this show. I'm about to lose all this Showtime money because Paul Pierce can't handle himself. And that would not be the first time someone lost a show because Paul Pierce can't handle
himself. Right. You can see him like looking over the producers constantly like, shit, what are we doing here? I had written down as well, I saw someone tweet this, the Julius Randle making his son cry at the three-point contest. Because it was so bad. Hey, quick sidebar, how would you fix All-Star Weekend? It's so shit. But there must be an answer.
First and foremost, no more going to Utah for All-Star Weekend. Yeah. That's just going to kill the vibe in general. If we're going to make it a party, at least we only put the All-Star game in Miami, in LA, or New Orleans. New Orleans, a great city for All-Star Weekend. Turn All-Star Weekend into just like, instead of doing like a full All-Star game, just do pickup games.
Yeah.
Pick fives, three teams of five, or I don't know, however many players, six teams of five, play games to 11, and then they just play a little tournament, and that's it.
That's good.
And they go through.
I like that.
Because if you just play to 11 and you just do five games of 11, like, that's much quicker. Also, if some guys don't want to really play, like, then they lose, and then they're not, and the most competitive guys will come through, and then you also, it makes it feel like you get to see the best players in the world just play it a day of pickup.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, because also for these guys, like, All-Star Weekend is exhausting. Like, they're just, like, going from event to event to event, like, all weekend long, get, like, talking to sponsors, like, talking to, like, different fans and media, partying. Like, by the time Sunday comes around, those guys are either tired or hungover. So, like, there's no way you're going to play a proper basketball game for 48 minutes after that. So I think splitting it up into, like, small little pickup games would make it much more fun. And then you can still do a draft. You can just pick your five captains, and then everyone just picks their guys.
Yeah, that's good. I really like that. One thing I think about All-Star Weekend is, like, the fans see their, like, appearances and their press conferences and all the build-up and stuff. But like you said, the amount of sponsorship things, they would have to, like, go to a hotel room and have a meal with some, like, high roller corporate stuff who's paid, like, all this money to have dinner with them. Like, they would be going to so many stupid events they don't want to be at. My fix for it was, like, a Royal Rumble type scenario where, like, they start one-on-one and then they bring in, like, a team member every 30 seconds and it's, like, big intros and all of a sudden, like, oh shit, like, Anthony Davis is coming in, he's, like, running through the race to join the pickup game. Just some theatrics to make it so stupid that maybe it makes it fun. Because it's, I don't know, it's so bad. I just skip it now and I watch highlights. It's just not worth watching. Hey, another one, speaking of AD, funny moments was him sitting on the sidelines just, like, completely nonchalant while LeBron broke the scoring record. What was his excuse at the end of that?
I don't remember what his excuse was, but it wasn't good. It was like he just tired or something, and I was like, LeBron was breaking the scoring record? Like, you could stand up for like 2 or 3 minutes? I'd honestly forgotten about that one.
Yeah.
That was, I remember that we started like 80 trade rumors after that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And Thomas Bryant was calling for it in the post, I think. When LeBron was like, it was, I think it was 1 point down and LeBron was like in a 1-on-1 and Bryant's like deep in the post, like calling for it.
You know what? Thomas Bryant had a very iconic season because he called for the ball when LeBron had the scoring record. Then he demanded a trade because he wasn't getting playing time on the Lakers. And now because he demanded a trade, he ended up on the Nuggets and he won a ring.
Yeah.
Completely iconic season for a nondescript NBA player.
Yeah, he's the guy that you you start with with a creator player when you start with like a power forward on 2K. What about Shannon Sharp just on the sidelines screaming it,
trying to fight the Grizzlies? Yes.
Was it Steven Adams like in there at some point?
That seemed like wrestling. That seemed like WWE. Like, I can't believe he tried to fight the entire Grizzlies team. But now knowing Ja Morant, like, that kind of makes sense.
What do you think happens with Ja now? Like, obviously, we're waiting. Like, any day now, Adam Silver's going to drop the hammer. What do you think he gets?
I think it's going to be, like, a 40-game suspension. I think it's going to be pretty bad.
Yep.
I think they probably found more stuff when they investigated. And I don't know if they're going to disclose it. But I think whatever they found is probably pretty bad. And it's going to be, like, 40 or 50 games.
Yep.
And I think Adam Silver's going to drop it at the very end of the day on Friday. And yeah. Just let that go.
Hit
into the
send
weekend.
On the
just,
email and boom, bail.
Hit send and go to hit send and then go home. Leave the office. It is honestly a great move. Superpower move.
How's these? I don't know if you saw the thing that they had in the Breakfast Club saying that it was a toy gun, and that like the NBA has footage that it actually was a toy gun the entire time, but they feel that he's still going to give them the big suspension. Like, that's just the worst excuse.
That's the worst excuse. Also, like, why would you wait 3 or 4 weeks afterwards to say it was a toy gun?
Yeah.
Also, why would you be riding around in your car with a toy gun? Like, that's almost even, like, worse. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, I can't have a real gun on IG Live. Now I have to get a toy gun so I can still flash a gun on IG Live. Honestly, what Ja did was, like, obviously irresponsible and, like, reckless. I'm not sure it's, like, the worst thing in the world.
No.
I think he should get the suspension for, honestly, just, like, being an idiot.
Being
they were
dumb.
Like, hey, just don't go on IG Live and flash a gun. Just, like, if you can just not do that, everything is okay. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I need to go on IG Live that badly.
Yeah, I really, really. Guys, please, just one more time. Please let me do
please
it.
Please just let me. Please let me do it one more time.
What about DeMar DeRozan's daughter shouting during free throws? That was another iconic moment for in the playoffs. So good.
She flipped she flipped the playoffs. She didn't go to the game against Miami.
Yeah.
And that could have flipped the entire playoff series. Miami could have lost.
That's right. Someone said that could have been the biggest butterfly effect moment of the entire season was that she had to go to school the next day. All right, I got a couple more. Actually, last one, and this one might be my favorite before we talk about the Mavericks. Kanye saying he caught CP3 with Kim, just like the tweet.
I had forgotten about that one. Yeah. That was this season?
That was this season. He was just like, by the way, I caught this guy with Kim. Nothing really happened after that.
Oh, the tweet, yeah. Because no one believes him. But that was definitely very funny. Everyone was like, maybe this happened?
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, it was a funny season in general. And the Mavs season was laughable in a way. It was horrible to watch at times. I think I've talked to you about this in the past, how, like, over here in Australia, how we watch games in the morning and then I have to, like, sit with it the entire day, like, go through my day. With what I've just watched. So that happened to me 82 times this past 7 months. What went wrong? What was the worst? What went wrong with the Mavs?
Well, I mean, what really went wrong was that they let Jalen Brunson walk in free agency and didn't have a backup plan. And so they didn't sign another ball handler. And so Luka just had to do everything. Which worked for the first maybe like 2 or 3 months of the season. It wasn't too bad. You know, Luka was like in MVP mode, but he had an all-time usage rate and that just wasn't sustainable. And then they got hit by a lot of injuries on top of that. And that's when their season kind of started to get a little wobbly. And then they made the Kyrie trade. And, well, I think they got good value for getting a star. That their defense was being held together by Dorian. It was like Dorian was just like holding all the defense together by himself, and I don't think they realized how much of a linchpin he was to their defense. And not having Dorian, and then also Maxi missing all those games with his hamstring injury, they were tiny. They were a really small team. They had like the worst interior defense I think I've ever seen. And then also Luka and Kyrie were also kind of battling injuries towards the second half of the season. So they just never really got quite right. And Luka looked miserable towards the second half of the season. I think he had some personal stuff going on. He looked just about as sad as I've ever seen him look. And it was all around a bad time. There were not many good things that were happening.
Yeah.
It was mostly bad. I think the only good things you could point to really is that Josh Green and Jaden Hardy really took a step this year and looked like real promising players for the future. But it was definitely a huge step back from last season.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think the season before was an overachieve then, or was it like maybe where the team could have grown from if they made the right moves?
I think they absolutely maximized their talent, but I thought that they had something there as a good core to move forward. I think they still need to make a few moves, get a big man, get some more wing depth. But I think if they had kept Brunson and they had kept that core together, they could have made a really good playoff run this year. I think they would have won a lot of regular season games. I think as topsy-turvy as the West was, and I think we saw that with the Nuggets, that continuity was really helpful this season, and just being consistent really took you a long way, and I think that would have really helped them in the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought they had the blueprint. They really had it moving forward, and losing Brunson really just scrambled their entire plan.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The Dorian holding their defense together as well, like, is very true, but at the same time, he's not like defensive player of the year candidate. Like, he's a very good wing defender, but if that's the Mavs' like best opportunity to defend on the basketball court with Dorian Finney-Smith being out there, like, that's a bad sign.
It's definitely a bad sign. Definitely. Yeah. If Dorian and Maxi are the only reason that you can defend, it's not a great reason. It's not a great great defensive structure.
Yeah.
They really did need a lot more defensive talent. And I think hopefully they can find a trade this offseason to get more defensive talent in here and maybe use that number 10 pick. They have a lot of options. They can keep the pick, they can trade it, but they definitely need a lot more defensive talent and not just one player holding it together.
What will be good for next season is that Luka filmed himself running up a set of stairs and now all of a sudden he's going to be in the best shape of his life. Why does he like get to run up one set of stairs and all of a sudden everyone's like, oh shit, look out, like fit Luka incoming. Like, he did one thing.
I think people think that Luka just never works out ever. Like, that just gets, that it, once he gets out of shape, like, that's just it. He's never worked out in his life. I think, honestly, he will come into very good shape because this is probably the longest break from basketball he's had in his NBA career since the bubble, I think, at least. And in the bubble, he was in great shape. I think he's always playing, like, with his national team in the summer, and then he's always either playing deep into the playoffs, and so he never really gets a really long extended break, but he's been off for a couple months now. He still has a couple more months until they have to go play at the World Cup. And I think he's going to be in great shape once we see him at the World Cup.
Yeah. Hey, before we move on, what do you think happens with the Mavs next season? Like, give me a way too early synopsis of what you think will happen.
Ooh, man, their roster is in such flux.
Kyrie staying.
It would take like an act of God probably to make it so he didn't stay, which could happen with Kyrie.
Yeah.
But it's,
he is God apparently.
Kyrie is going to come back. I think they'll at least put together a competent roster that has a serviceable big man on it. So I'll say that they win, not knowing anything about their roster, they win 44 games and they are the sixth seed in the West.
I'll take it. There you go. Lock it in, please. Who's your darling, like your darling team, the team that's like, that you love outside of the Mavs that you just want to be good as well? Like, do you have someone that's like a soft spot?
I love OKC.
Mm.
I love OKC. I love the way they play. I love Shea, Jalen Williams, Josh Giddey.
Yeah.
Chet, when he comes back next year, is going to be great for them. I think
he's put muscle on, apparently.
He's put muscle on. Like, I think they know how to play together. They got a lot of talent. Their coach is really good, even though I didn't know his name for like 3 years. But he has them playing really good defense, and they're a lot of fun. I think they're going to surprise a lot of teams next season.
Of course, we're big Josh Giddey people over here, being our Australian son, and he's very young. But I hope, I do. I'm the same with you. I love watching OKC. They're a lot of fun to watch. I think maybe other than OKC, Kings for me became like really like lovable. I think it was probably because of the beam, to be honest. But also, like, I don't know, just their, like, no one really picked them to do what they did, and they're playing, like, it was really fun to watch them play. So I hope the Kings are good next season. And I hope the beam comes back. Actually, it's definitely coming back.
Oh yeah, you can't take the beam away. The followers and supporters they'll riot.
Right. Yeah. All right, I've got a couple of questions that people send in on Instagram. So I'm going to get straight to this first one. Don't know how equipped you are to answer it or not. You can make shit up. I don't care. What are your thoughts on the new CBA destroying middle-class free agents?
Man.
How do you feel about that question?
The CBA is destroying the middle class. That's true. It only cares about the 1% of NBA players.
Yes.
Honestly, the CBA is going to have some really, really strange consequences. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out and how it plays out with contract extensions. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out with rookie extensions and like veteran extensions. And then just guys in the middle class who used to get maybe $20 million a year who probably will get 15 or 14 now because teams just won't want to pay it or just really can't, because if you go over that second tax apron, like, you're just stuck and you can't do anything else.
Yeah.
So I think the top guys are going to get their money still. But I think guys like Bradley Beal or like Karl Anthony Towns, like those kind of level players, aren't going to get those big supermax contracts anymore.
Yeah. Like 2 seasons ago when someone was like, they got 120, like, you know, like the way overs paydays, like those guys got really lucky at the time.
Yeah, they got really lucky because that's definitely not happening anymore. Like, you don't want to max a guy unless you're absolutely sure that he's a top level player. And it's going to make things, also it's going to make it like even more weird between players and like teams, because they're like, oh, I'm a max guy. And the team's going to be like, no, you're not. You're not a max guy. And they're like, well, this guy got a max. And they're like, they got a max in the last CBA,
yeah,
not in this one. And so it's gonna create a lot of consternation within the league.
Is it a real thing? And I've heard this before. I can't remember if it's actually true or not, that the Morris twins share like contract money.
I think that was maybe a thing their rookie contract.
Right.
I want to say I heard something about this when they came into the league, but I don't think that's the case now because they were on the same team somehow.
Yeah, that's right. I always feel like there was one season, I think it was like 3 or 4 ago, that they actually swapped they changed person because like Markieff was never great and like Marcus Morris was always better, and then like one random season Markieff Morris was just way better than Marcus Morris, and I feel like they just decided to be each other for one season just to mess with everyone. Is that possible?
I feel like that happened in one year, because yeah, there was a time where like one of them was better than the other and then it swapped, and I was like, well, maybe they changed. They did a little parent trap to the NBA.
Yeah. All right, one last question from Instagram. It's your way too early predictions for next season, NBA champion. And I'm just going to chuck on, let's do MVP too.
Wow, MVP and NBA champion. I'm going to go... You know what? I think it's going to be a Jokic MVP season. He's going to have a lot of momentum again. People are going to be like, oh, we should have gave this guy the MVP last year.
Yep.
It's time to give him another one. And then for a champion, I'm going to take the Nuggets. I'm going to say they go back-to-back. I don't think there's another team that's really put it together yet.
Yep.
And I think they'll have that continuity, and they'll also have that – just like the confidence that you get for going through and winning a championship. They're not losing – they might lose Bruce Brown, but like – really, they're going to keep really most of their team intact. So I'm going to say the Nuggets go back-to-back and Jokic gets another MVP.
I like it. I like that pick a lot. I was going to pick Jokic as well, so I won't. And I'm going to go someone like a team and someone that probably could not even be playing together. I'm going to go Boston Celtics. I'm just backing them in. They somehow figure it out and they can come out of the East and win. And I'll go Tatum. Tatum MVP. It's a dumb pick, I know, but... Jokic seems like the right choice, but I don't know. Maybe it will just click finally. Sometimes
they have been together a long time. It could just click. There could be an injury or something that lets them go through.
Yep, and I'm banking on an injury for my pick for it to happen. I also do you think there's a chance Jaylen Brown is not on the Celtics next season? Because I desperately want him to be a Maverick somehow. He's like my favorite player outside of the Mavericks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love it.
You know, I think they're going to end up giving him the max, but I think they could be blown away by an offer, but I don't think it's going to be by the Mavericks.
No.
They don't have the money for it.
What about CP3 ending up on the Mavs? I just feel like that's an inevitable thing to happen.
I don't feel like it's going to happen this year.
Right.
I think his contract is too big. It might, though, happen maybe on like his next contract, when if they need a backup point guard and he wants to come play with Luka. Or if they somehow lose Kyrie at some point where they trade him, maybe next offseason.
Yeah.
But trade him once he gets high value again, which would be kind of a genius move.
Yeah.
And then they could bring CP3 in on a nice minimum deal.
Okay. I get gut feelings and they're always wrong. But I just think if I voice them occasionally and maybe one will hit and then I'll look like a genius. Which is how I roll generally with sport predictions. Hey, Austin, I'm going to let you go to your day because you got things to do. It was nice to catch up basketball things and reflect on a stupid season. Like so many random things that happened that you just forget that happened.
Season.
That you're like, well, that was like 3 years ago, but it was like 2 weeks ago. So yeah, thanks man, really appreciate it. You can find us on Backchat on Instagram, Backchat_basketball, and send us an email, hello@backchatpodcast.com.au. Austin, you want to plug something? You got something you want to give a?
Yeah, you can find me on Dime Uprocks. I think I'm going to do some draft writing, and then also on the 77 Minutes podcast.
It's a good song at the start of the podcast as well. I always sing different words to it because I don't know. I can't remember the words. I just make them up as I go as I'm driving. So, yeah, check it out. Athletics 77 Minutes with Austin, Tim. Dave jumps on. Dave Dufour, is it? Is that his?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always good chats. Gets me through. So, yeah, I'll chat to you next time. Let's maybe talk when actual basketball is happening again.
Absolutely.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That episode from Backchat Studios lives on the Acast Creator Network. If you want to sign up as a patron or access all of our merch, head to backchatpodcast.com.au.